Researchers must reckon their ages by ascertaining the age of the ground they are found in, which in turn requires meticulously documenting their provenance. Because Dillehay's team failed to identify properly the location of the stone tools in Monteverde, Fidel said, their antiquity was up to question. They could have been in a recent sediment layer. Haynes, who had authenticated Monteverde in 1997, announced in 1999 that the site needed further testing. The dispute over the Clovis model kept growing. In the 1990s, geologists laid out data indicating that the ice sheets were bigger and longer lasting than had been thought, and that even when the ice-free corridor existed, it was utterly inhospitable. Worse, archaeologists could find no traces of Paleo-Indians, or the big mammals they presumably hunted, in the corridor from the right time. Meanwhile, paleontologists learned that about two-thirds of the species that vanished did so a little before Clovis appears in the archaeological record. Finally, Clovis people may not have enjoyed hunting that much. Of the 76 U.S. Paleo-Indian camps surveyed by Meltzer and Donald K. Grayson, an archaeologist at the University of Washington at Seattle, only 14 showed evidence of big game hunting, all of it just two species, mastodon and bison. The overkill hypothesis lives on, the two men sneered, not because of support from archaeologists and paleontologists who are expert in the area, but because it keeps getting repeated by those who are not. Clovis defenders remained as adamant as their critics. Regarding Monteverde, Haynes told me, my comment is, where are the photographs of these artifacts when they were in place? If you're trying to prove that site to other archaeologists, and you find an unequivocal stone artifact in situ in a site that's 12,000 years old, everyone should run over it with a camera. It wasn't until after we brought this up that they dug up some photographs, and they were fuzzy. I really became a doubter then. The putative pre-Clovis sites are background radiation, he said. I'm convinced that 100 years from now, there will still be these pre-Clovis sites, and this will go on ad infinitum. Some of our colleagues seem to have gone seriously wrong, lamented Thomas F. Lynch of Texas A&M, in the Review of Archaeology. Proudly claiming that he had helped blow the whistle on other Clovis challengers, Lynch described the gathering support for pre-Clovis candidates as a manifestation of political correctness. He predicted in 2001 that Monteverde would eventually fade away. For better or worse, most archaeologists speak and act as if the Clovis first model were wrong, while still accepting that it might be correct. Truly ardent Clovisites, like low counters, are in a definite minority now, according to Michael Crawford, a University of Kansas anthropologist, a conclusion that Fidel, Haynes, and other skeptics ruefully echo. Following Monteverde, at least three other pre-Clovis sites gained acceptance, though each continued to have its detractors. The ultimate demise of the Clovis dogma is inevitable, David Hennig, author of Numbers from Nowhere, told me. Archaeologists are always dating something to 5,000 years ago and then saying that this must be the first time it occurred because they haven't found any earlier examples. And then, incredibly, they defend this idea to the death. It's logically indefensible. Clovis first, he said, is a classic example of arguing from silence. Even in archaeology, which isn't exactly rocket science, he laughed, there's only so long you can get away with it.